Hello.
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 Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Did you know that God chooses stupid things to confound the wise? Hello again, everyone. Hope you enjoy our intro. It's fitting, considering the people speaking on this radio program. Hello, everyone. Dan Sheridan. I'm here again today with my glass of tea. And the reason why I have tea is I love tea, but we're out of coffee. And so this is going to be kind of a rough day for me, but that's okay. I will get through it because what we're talking about is energizing enough. It's better than a power bar. It's better than Muscle Milk. Well, we were talking about Romans 5, 1 and 2, and I want to pick up on this thread. We pointed out in Romans 5, 1 and 2 that it takes us back to our past, brings us into our present, and it takes us into the future. In the past, it says, being then justified by faith. You and I, we can look in the past and realize everything in the past is taken care of. We're declared righteous, and that's it. And not only that, it says we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So at present, we have peace with God. We're not at war with him. He's not at war with us. We stand in a relationship of peace. Remember, justification is the first step. It's not all there is, because God wants not only to clear us of all iniquity, he also wants to bring us into his presence. He also wants us to enjoy the family, love, and relationship. And so he righteously established that through the work of Christ on Calvary so he can justify us. And having cleared us of all wrongdoing, now we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget that, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Never see yourself apart from God's Son. Our position is in Christ, in himself. That's how God sees us. And then it says, through whom we have the access also. I love that little word also. It's like, you know, if justification wasn't enough, he's going to add all these things to it. And he keeps adding blessings. It says here, through whom we have the access also by faith unto this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace. And I like this phrase, access. It's only used in a few other places. It's used in Ephesians 2:18 and 3:12. Let's turn to Ephesians 2:18, where we read this. Paul says, for through him we both, speaking of Jew and Gentile, have had the access in one spirit unto the Father. And then it says this in Ephesians 3. Paul says this, in whom, speaking of Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith. Jesus, through Christ Jesus' faith. And this is a great phrase. Notice the word boldness and confidence added to the word access. Now, can you imagine a Levitical priest being told that in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, when a high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies, they had to tie a rope around his leg, and he had to wear bells and pomegranates around the hem of his garment through fear. He did not have boldness and confidence with access, and he went in there in fear of his life, and that's how it was in the book of Leviticus there. But you and I have boldness and access with confidence, and that is something that is just tremendous. You don't have to put covering on the furniture, and you don't have to wipe off your feet. I don't know if any of you have ever seen some of the old movies. There was a great movie called The Quiet Man with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. And the brother of Maureen O'Hara in that movie was Victor McLaughlin. And he played Squire Danaher, Will Danaher, Maureen O'Hara's big brother. And the big brother did not want John Wayne's character to marry the brother, his sister. And there's a scene in there where Victor McLaughlin walks into the widow Talan's house, and he's introduced saying, Squire Danaher is here. And as he walks in, she says, wipe your muddy boots. Wipe your muddy boots. Well, some of you may know that. But the point being is you and I don't have to wipe our muddy boots. We have boldness and confidence and access to our Heavenly Father. The cleaning up's already been done. You and I are in Christ. Christ needs no cleaning up. Since Christ needs no cleaning up, we're fine. our position is in Christ, so we don't have to worry about those things anymore. So we have this present access also by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace today. And then it says here, and we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. Now that's future. We're looking for that day when we're going to enter God's presence. And I'm going to turn to 1 Thessalonians because I want us to listen to what is being said here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says here, "Now we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing." Now other versions say put to sleep, but here it's reposing. "Lest you may sorrow according as the rest also who have no expectation." Now, unbelievers don't have an expectation. You and I can boast in our expectation. We know where we're going. No, we don't know where we're going when we die. When we do, we're going to the grave. But we know that there's a resurrection coming. They don't. Unbelievers don't. Verse 14. "For if we are believing that Jesus died and rose," yes, we believe that, "thus also," notice that phrase, "those who are put to repose," that is, those who've died, "will God, through Jesus, lead forth together with him." Just as Christ died and rose, don't worry about our beloved ones who've died, because they're going to rise from the dead just like our Lord did. "For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command." Notice the Lord himself is coming. In the program for Israel, he sends his messengers or his angels. "The Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger." Now, this is the concordant version, and I want to point out, this is not an archangel. This is Christ is the chief messenger here. "And with the trumpet of God." No, this is not the trumpet of Revelation 11. That's an angel's trumpet. Here it's the trumpet of God. And a trumpet was used in the Bible for calling the troops together for war, if you read in the Old Testament. Well, this is a war on death. This event that's going to take place in 1 Thessalonians 4 is a war on death. "And so with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first." Now, I want you to notice this. When Paul writes about those who've died in Christ, he says he never uses the phrase, "Don't worry about it, they're already in heaven." No, he doesn't say that. The dead in Christ are sleeping, friends. They're reposing until this event when the Lord himself descends from heaven. And then it says this, "Thereupon we, the living, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air." There's a couple things here. Notice this. First of all, the dead in Christ rise first, thereupon we the living who are surviving shall at the same time be snatched away together. Friends, those who've died in Christ are not in heaven before us, and they're not with the Lord before us. We are all at the same time going to be snatched away together to be with the Lord. It's a reunion that's going to take place at the same moment, at the same time. You, me, and all those who've gone before us, the Apostle Paul, members of the body of Christ will be together at the same time, snatched away together. Now, this word snatched away together is very interesting. It's used in the Gospel of John. And if you don't have a concordant version, you'll probably miss the point, because they're using the same Greek words wherever, everywhere possible in English. They're translating the English, the Greek words the same in English everywhere, so we can see the connection. The John 10:17 says, "Therefore the Father is loving me, seeing that I am laying down my soul, that I may be getting it again." Actually, I think I'm reading the wrong passage. I am. John 10:28. Excuse me. He says this, "And I am giving them life aeonian, and they should by no means be perishing for the aeon, and no one shall be snatching them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to be snatching them out of my Father's hand. I and Father, we are one." Notice that no one is able to snatch that believer out of the Father's hand. And that word is used of a wolf snatching a sheep out of the flock. Isn't that interesting? A hungry wolf goes and he sees all these sheep, and he goes and he snatches a sheep out of the flock. And so our Lord Jesus, in a sense, is hungry like a wolf. He wants to come and snatch us away together to be with him and to meet him in the air. Friends, nobody longs for the day of resurrection more than our Savior. I can't wait for that day. Can you imagine that all of a sudden the trumpet will sound, and if and the dead in Christ will be rising. If we die, all of a sudden we'll be awakened. Our senses will be heightened, and we'll be going up. And we'll see our Lord, and we'll meet Him in the air. And we'll see, this is wonderful, and our Lord will say, it's not all, that's not it. We're going to keep going back to glory. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we'll be getting closer and closer, and it'll be more exciting and more exciting. And the Lord will say, you haven't seen anything yet, there's more. Wait till we get there. And we'll be with Him, manifested with Him, together in glory. Friends, that's the hope. That's something we can boast in. Imagine it. You die, and all of a sudden you hear the sound, you're awakened, you're roused, you're vivified, and you see your Lord, and you're flying to heaven without a rocket strapped to your back. What an event that will be. We should be bragging about this, but you know why? Do you know why this teaching is a little bragged about, friends? And this is going to be a strange statement, but the reason is most believers don't believe in this event. They're more concerned about death and judgment rather than resurrection and vivification. They are concerned about where you go when you die, when no one in the Bible ever asked that silly question. Nobody ever talked about death being life in another place. Friends, resurrection is what distinguishes Bible-believing Christianity. And I don't even like the word Bible. I don't like the word Christian because we have scriptures, sacred scriptures, and we're believers. We're believers in Christ. The sacred scriptures teach not something, death is an enemy, it always has been, but you and I are going to be snatched away. Let's read this again. Thereupon we, the living who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, in this way, friends, we shall always be together with the Lord, so that console one another with these words. These are the pattern of sound words we should be using. So we're justified in the past. We have a present standing and access and grace, and we look forward, we brag, and we boast and hope the expectation of the glory of God as we just read it. Woo! Oh, that was a lot to say. Well, friends, we hope you enjoyed this program. If you have any questions, please give us a call, 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. Go to our website, crossandthrone.com, crossandthrone.com. Again, a lot of the stuff we're saying is stupid to the world, but it's God's wisdom. And I have to run, everyone. I hear the call. Dr. Fine, Dr. Fine. We'll see y'all next time.